I love living in a place that has both rocket scientists and magic. That's what I tell my friends from somewhere else when they ask if I still like Orlando after being here 6 months. I used to use expressions like it's not magic or it's not rocket science, but here it might be. I love living in a place with both rocket scientists and magic. I was reminded of this in our Words for All Ages. It said, you push a button or flip a switch, and then, like magic, the electric light bulb glowed. People even called the inventor a wizard because he had invented such a magical thing, and people wanted that kind of magic in their homes. Of course, we know that the development of the light bulb involved a lot of science and engineering, but it also required that amazing ability to imagine what is possible, to create something that did not yet exist, the impulse that channels science and engineering into something that seems like magic. I am of that generation that grew up on the space program, especially the human missions to the moon. I grew up waiting to see who would win the bet. My dad, who said we'd get an astronaut on the moon by some date that was specified that I don't yet remember, or my aunt, who said we never would. To my dad, an engineer, it was a matter of science. To my aunt, it was magic. To me, it was both. Have you looked at the moon? I mean, really looked at the moon? It's amazing that there are human footprints there. I also grew up in New Hampshire, 30 minutes from where Krista McAuliffe taught high school. And it was 25 years ago this week when Krista and her crewmates were killed as a space shuttle Challenger disintegrated 73 seconds after launch. Sometimes even rocket science and magic aren't enough. I was heartbroken. But it was that same special combination of science and magic that caused us to try again. And that in spite of the current downturn in support for the space program, causes me to still believe that humans will one day travel further than the moon. The first light bulb that was not commercially viable, but Louis Latimer, who we heard about, combined a vision of what was possible with technical know-how and hard work and determination to create something better. And even from his creation, we continue to have evolving visions of what is possible, changing light bulbs that are ever more efficient and more effective. And we are told that Louis Latimer helped to start a Unitarian congregation, and that people are still going to that congregation 100 years later, and that just like this Unitarian Universalist congregation, it gives long and lasting light. Whether we are talking about rockets or light bulbs or the potential of humans and congregations, I believe we need two things: the ability to deal with reality, the world as it is, and we need the ability to envision the possibilities, the world as it could be. In congregations, we need committees and budgets and bylaws and volunteers and paid staff and meeting space and volunteers and policies and procedures and volunteers and money. It seems we need light bulbs and people to change light bulbs, and until we get solar panels on the roof, we need to pay the power company. But we don't have light bulbs just for the sake of having light bulbs. We have light bulbs because of what they allow us to do, because of the light that they shine, because of the way that they support our vision. Albert Schweitzer said, at times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the spark within us. End quote. We are here together because of what is possible. What is possible in our own lives, in this congregation, and in our world. I want to talk about that vision, that amazing ability to imagine what is possible, to create something that does not yet exist, that impulse to channel our effort and our energy into something that seems like magic. I want to talk about that spark and what it can ignite. So let's go back in time, not to the invention of the light bulb, but almost that far, to the founding of this congregation nearly 100 years ago. Why did those folks found a congregation? I suspect it was for very similar reasons to the ones that bring us here today. The bylaws of First Unitarian state that membership requires commitment to the, quote, bond of union. These are the words that we recite when we celebrate and welcome new members. I'm going to read that in a minute, but I want to ask you to listen for something. After reading the Bond of Union, I'm going to read two more contemporary statements, and I invite you to listen for the similarities. I don't know when the language of the Bond of Union was adopted, but its language could have been with us since the founding. It has that sort of early 20th century ring to it. Here's what it says. We associate ourselves for the study and practice of morality and religion, as interpreted by the noblest lives of humanity, hoping thereby to prove helpful to one another and to promote truth, righteousness, and love in the world. It's not bad, but it's not something that would probably come out of most of our mouths naturally today. But the current mission statement that we're using says the mission of First Unitarian Church of Orlando is to exemplify liberal religion in Central Florida, with a commitment to lifelong spiritual growth and compassionate service to the community. Okay? I can't help but notice the parallel to the recent tagline used by the Unitarian Universalist Association. Nurture your spirit, help heal our world. We are here because each of us individually needs to be here. And we are here because the world needs us to be here. However we say it, liberal religious communities help individuals and the world. That was true 100 years ago, and it's true today. It's true here in Orlando and across communities, across our country, and around the world. It's true for longtime members of this congregation. It's true for the 55 members who have joined the congregation in the last year, and Marty was kind enough to bring their pictures in so that you can see them. It's true for the 94 other folks who have joined since the beginning of the interim period, 94. It seems true for the 10 people who were in this weekend's Journey to Membership session. And it can be true for countless other individuals and families who have not yet found their way to our door. These statements, in all their different ways of saying the same thing, tell us why we are here, why we exist. Now, just to be sure, I searched the bylaws for the expression light bulb. It isn't there. Important as light bulbs are, this congregation does not exist to buy, to change, and to power light bulbs. This congregation exists to change lives and to use our power for good in the world. So how are we doing on that? It's good to check in every now and again, and I'd like to do that this morning, and I'd like to take it in two parts. First, nurture your spirit. The Bond of Union called for the study and practice of morality and religion as interpreted by the noblest lives of humanity, hoping thereby to prove useful to one another. Our current mission calls for a commitment to lifelong spiritual growth. So how are we doing on offering opportunities creating an environment where spirits can be nurtured. Let's have a little romp through what's going on these days. You can deepen your understanding of Unitarian Universalist tradition by attending an orientation session or a Journey to Membership series. Or you can take it a step further with current offerings like Who's in the Library or Articulating Your UU Faith. If you want to put your UU values into action in your daily life, we have opportunities for you to reflect on parenting, being part of a couple, as well as several different opportunities to understand life transitions. You can explore specific forms of spirituality or spiritual practice with ongoing groups by getting involved with a meditation group, which looks at things from a Buddhist perspective, or Mystic Grove, our pagan group, or one of their special classes or offerings. You can join one of the newly forming covenant groups by filling out that form conveniently handed to you as you entered the sanctuary today. You can pick from the potpourri of Sundays in the library, as well as other offerings periodically scheduled throughout the week. You can come to worship on Sundays and for other special worship services offered throughout the year. These are some of the ways that you can nurture your spirit here at First Unitarian, and it's a good start, and together we can grow more. But what of healing our world? The bond of union refers to this as promoting truth, righteousness, and love in the world. Our current mission statement calls for compassionate service to the community. Is this congregation doing its part to heal the world? This is going to be a fast romp through a lot of territory, so make sure your seat belt is snugly tightened. This congregation has a long history and continues that history of promoting sexuality as a natural and wholesome part of the human experience. We offer state-of-the-art comprehensive sexuality education through our Whole Life program. This curriculum, jointly developed by the Unitarian Universalist Association and the United Church of Christ, has age-appropriate components starting at age 5 and going through adulthood. Through education, advocacy, and outreach, we support the right of women to be in control of their own bodies and the right of all couples to choose if and when they become parents, including the right of same-gender couples to adopt. We support marriage equality and, in fact, full equality of all who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning. As an example of this, there's a lot of letters there. As an example of this, through our Share the Plate program, our offering on February 20th will benefit the Orlando Youth Alliance, which provides a safe, peer-based organization for GLBTQ youth in Central Florida. The adult education offering in the library that morning will feature a speaker from that organization, and the lay-led service that day will be titled It Gets Better, building on the anti-bullying campaign that went viral last fall. Coordination like this brings synergy to our learning, our worship, and our action in the world. But that's not all. This segues nicely to our involvement with the Standing on the Side of Love campaign. This campaign, started by and but broader than the Unitarian Universalist Association, calls on all of us to respond to acts of hatred and bullying with love and compassion. Carrying signs and wearing t-shirts with the Standing on the Side of Love slogan, members of this congregation have attended peace rallies, anti-bullying and anti-hate events, and the recent MLK event. As we get near Valentine's Day, our culture's celebration of love, we have two opportunities to share the love. First, on the evening on February 13th, our 1U young people are planning a variety show with a message that supports the UUA's Standing on the Side of Love campaign, and the proceeds will benefit them. Please look for information on that and join us as for Youth on the Side of Love. The next evening, on Valentine's Day itself, First Unitarian will take the lead in the annual Human Heart Project. Together with like-minded friends from the broader community, we will use our bodies to make a giant human heart. There will be music. There will be surprises. There will be cameras. The event will take place at 6:14 at Lock Haven Park, and your Board of Trustees has rescheduled its regularly scheduled monthly meeting so that they can participate. I hope you will join us in sending a message that we want love to be the guiding principle of our time. Standing on the side of love is also an opportunity for us to consider our involvement in issues of immigration that are so present in our society today. We may not know all the answers to the complex issues before us, but we know that hate is not the answer. Beginning on February 8th, we have an opportunity to explore the issue of immigration using study materials provided by the Unitarian Universalist Association. This group will meet the second Tuesday of each month for 5 months. Dan Homlett is coordinating that effort, and although I will be out of town for the first session, I am very much looking forward to being part of that group. I hope you will consider joining us and make a commitment to understanding and deepening your understanding of issues that are going to matter and be very much on our public policy horizon in the years to come. There will also, for those who cannot be part of that in-depth session, there will be Sundays in library sessions that will give people a chance to catch up on those topics, and I will preach on the subject in March as well. Later in the spring, we have invited folks from Hope Community Center in Apopka to be with us to share their important work with immigrants and farm workers in that community. How are your seatbelts? From standing on the side of love, we make our way into more social justice issues. The congregation continues its outreach to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, who organize to help bring tomato pickers in Florida up to a pay rate approaching minimum wage. Both the Sunday in the library and an opportunity to be part of a rally in Tampa with the coalition are coming your way in March and April. Looking at where our food comes from makes us aware of social justice issues and a host of other issues as well. For the last several years, our green team has provided leadership as we have considered the broad topic of ethical eating and the ways in which what and how we eat has broad implications for our planet and for human society. The Green Team spearheads our environmental considerations as we work to lessen our impact on the planet, both as individuals and as a congregation. In addition to their direct work on ethical eating, they bring us a monthly Earth Cinema Night, a green track of adult programming on Sunday mornings, and coordinate our involvement in Orlando's Earth Day celebration and look for partnerships and opportunities to collaborate with other community groups. I want to hold up as well that for all my joking about the role of light bulbs in the congregation, our Building and Grounds Committee works hard not only to ensure that we have light, but that our buildings are as green as possible and that our landscape is as natural as possible. This includes upcoming plans to participate in a native plant rescue day that will not only enrich our property, but also save original DNA from species at a site destined for construction. And we offer direct support to those in need. No discussion of outreach in this congregation would be complete without acknowledging the work of the Alliance, an affiliate organization with members from both First Unitarian and University UU. They meet weekly to work on the continuing bazaar in Gore Hall. These efforts provide material goods to people in need and raise thousands of dollars a year to support good work in the community. The Alliance makes sandwiches for the Coalition for the Homeless each month and brings in speakers to keep their members and guests up to date on the needs of the community. And our young people are involved in this kind of outreach as well. The chalice tree assembled by our youth over the holiday gave us the opportunity to offer material support in benefit of the New Image Youth Center in Paramore. In February, you can offer hands-on support by spending a day volunteering at Second Harvest Food Pantry or helping build a new home with Habitat for Humanity. I've left a lot out. I know that, and I apologize. I just want to paint in broad strokes regarding the engagement of this congregation with a world in need of love and care. But I also want to acknowledge the incredible amount of good work that members of this congregation do as individuals. Members of this congregation tutor children, rescue animals, lead and participate in community and social change groups, participate in our political system, and more. And I want to acknowledge that we don't have to do this work alone, either as individuals or as a congregation. I've already touched on some of the collaboration with which the congregation is involved. Just to expand a little, the Haiti Revisited event that happened recently was a collaboration with Barry Law School. It was educational, inspirational, and benefited the good work done in Haiti by Dr. Paul Farmer and Partners in Health. We're working with 10,000 villages where a number of our members volunteer so that they will have a presence when we host the District Assembly here in April. And speaking of the District Assembly, a gathering that will bring hundreds of Unitarian Universalists from across Florida to our campus, we have numerous opportunities to collaborate, support, or be supported by other UU organizations. Of particular note, I want to lift up our Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, which promotes human rights and provides humanitarian aid around the world. So how are we doing on our mission, which calls us to compassionate service, to promote truth, righteousness, and love in the world, which calls us to help heal our world? Let me summarize. We promote healthy attitudes toward human sexuality. We stand for love in the face of hate and exclusion. We support full equality for those who are LGBTQ. We support economic justice. We are educating ourselves so that we can participate intelligently in the immigration debate and advocate for policies that are both just and compassionate. We are learning to live more sustainably on the earth, our home. We support our members in their individual service, and we look for opportunities to collaborate with others doing work in line with our values. Can we do more? Can we do better? Yes, we can. Of course, we can. But this morning, I want you to celebrate what you are already doing. Listing these activities helps us know if we are on track with our mission. It tells anybody who wanders in what our values are. It helps them know if this spiritual home could be their spiritual home as well. There are not clean lines between the social issues that call to Unitarian Universalists or tend to. That's because they are deeply rooted in values, deeper than the presenting issues. There are not clean lines between nurturing our spirits and helping to heal our world. Spirituality at its best first helps to make us healthy and whole and then moves us up and out to connections beyond ourselves. As we move up and out to connections and to concerns beyond ourselves, I come back to my joy at living in a place that has both scientists, rocket scientists, and magic. As this congregation prepares to move into its second century of service to Central Florida, I believe we need two things: the ability to deal with reality and the world as it is, and the ability to envision the possibilities the way the world could be. One of these is limited by our resources. The other is limited by our imagination. Those limits are ours to define. The choice is ours. May our choice be to take off, to light up, and to make the magic happen. May our choice be to be a blessing to the world.